Dr. Peter Jones is our guest for this particular segment on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Dr. Jones is the director of Truth Exchange, which is spelled truth and then just the letter X and then change. It's a ministry of cultural apologetics. Dr. Jones serves as an adjunct professor at Westminster Seminary in California. The website, by the way, for Truth Exchange is truthexchange.com. Dr. Jones, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's good to meet you, Jerry.
Sure. I saw an article that in one of your Truth Exchange newsletters where you were talking about you had been studying on the subject of critical race theory and neo-Marxism. And this is something that we as Christians need to be aware of, not only in terms of the culture at large and academia, but also even within the church itself. So let me just sit down and let you wax eloquent. Why is it important for us to understand critical race theory and neo-Marxism?
Well, it's obviously a confusing issue because critical race theory doesn't seem to have much relationship to the political system of Marxism, and yet as you analyze what is being said, you can discover that critical race theory was a system developed by neo-Marxists. And you have to understand what neo or cultural Marxism is. It is the reimagining of Marxism, not in the old-fashioned way of thinking about the workers and the bosses in and how Marxism helped the workers to gain power. Actually, that was an old way to think about Marxism. And the Frankfurt School, which came over to the States, established itself at Columbia University in the 30s, called itself neo-Marxist or cultural Marxism, because it decided to try to describe the goal of Marxism, not so much in terms of the ending of economic problems, but by identifying the entire system of the West as a system that had to be ended and eliminated. And it used the notion of critical race theory as the means whereby that system could be undermined. So we have a system that argues that the new group of those who are oppressed, Marx talked about the oppressors and the oppressed, those that are now oppressed are not the poor people as much as the people who don't control the discourse of the West. And they are described as blacks or homosexuals or transgender or women. And so they are oppressed, and the oppressors are white supremacy, which dominates the world because of its understanding of existence based on the classic doctrines of the Christian faith and then on the Constitution of the United States. So here we have a massive political and theological opposition to what has been typical of America really for 400 years, an understanding of the way culture is built.
By the way, could you go ahead and speak closer into your phone itself? But I wanted to ask you, where does God fit in this? You have a quote here, for example, according to Marx, man is the supreme being. Man is God. Quite a different worldview, of course, than the Christian view.
Well, of course, that's the whole subject that people have to understand. The temptation of seeing in Marxism this wonderful help for the poor, for the working classes, the mistreated people. Of course, Marx saw the unjust employment of children in these ugly factories in the late 19th century and sought a way of freeing them. But the neo-Marxists want to free us from these notions of oppression that are really the biblical and moral definitions of what life is all about. And so you have the appeal of Marxism, but its problem is that Marx absolutely denies the existence of God and wants to see humanity as divine. And so as our young people begin to be captured by the notion of helping the poor and accepting forms of Marxism, which is called social...
Called social what?
Can also be called socialism.
Yes.
They can also be caught by the ideological notions of Marxism, namely the rejection of God. And I don't know whether you saw that recent poll, but our young people, I think, if I remember, 47% don't believe in God, don't see any reason why God should play a role in their lives.
Mm.
Now, that, of course, fits perfectly into the neo-Marxist system. So with the idea of helping poor people, with the idea of helping those who suffer from racism, very quickly people can be sucked into helping people,
mm-hmm.
also by adopting this anti-God ideology.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. I saw an alumni magazine from one of the schools that I attended, and it was a secular school. And they were highlighting one of their professors in, you know, as if it was a real positive thing. And she was saying, you know, we need to be woke and, you know, rioting in the streets is important and all this kind of stuff. You know, I wouldn't agree with anything about that. But she was mentioning how Ferguson was a real turning point for America. But I sit back and I think, wait a minute. The real lesson from Ferguson was the lie that was told, the initial story, that Michael Brown, the black fellow who was, you know, had a confrontation with a policeman who was white policeman. And the initial story was that Michael Brown said, "Hands up, don't shoot." And the policeman shot him in cold blood in his back. And then it turned, you know, in the Eric Holder, you know, serving in the Obama administration, they tried to convict the policeman of this, of, you know, doing this. But instead, the truth came out. Instead, Michael Brown was charging the policeman like a bull and trying to grab the man's gun. And then the man shot him at the last minute in the face. And that's how he died. Very different story. But here's my point. A myth has been built around what happened in Ferguson. And people are grabbing onto that myth and then using that to try and promote justice, so-called, and in reality, it's all based on a myth.
That's right. And to go in this direction.
Okay, I talk directly into your phone.
I read from David Horowitz, who was a revolutionary, a Marxist in the 60s, but became a conservative. He's still not a Christian. And here's what he said. The issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution.
The issue is always the revolution, yeah.
The issue is always the revolution. And so the issue is not racism. Ultimately, the issue is political, cultural, and spiritual revolution that wants to undermine the Western Christian system. So I think while we need to give attention to claims of racism, they're not justified, but sometimes they are. I think the real issue behind this whole movement is the overthrowing of a Western Christian system. And I want to give you the proof of this. The founder, Patrice Lumumba, of the BLM, the Black Lives Matter movement, called herself a trained Marxist. We spent years reading from Marx, Lenin, Mao, reading all types of critical race theory. And then she says, I'm an abolitionist. And she says, she talks about her abolitionist journey and the abolitionist future we deserve. And I found a fascinating article that Karl Marx, in the Communist Manifesto, uses the same verb, abolish. And this is what he says. Communists seek to, quote, abolish the present state of things. He says that communists openly declare that their end can be attained only by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. The overthrow of all existing social conditions. I'm just afraid that the power being thrown behind the movement of anti-racism really is going into this overturning of a basically Western Christian civilization.
You know what's so interesting about this is in his book, The Devil and Karl Marx, Paul Kanger, Dr. Paul Kanger of Grove City College.
He was the guy I was citing.
Oh, really? Yeah, because he
was.
Yeah. Because Kanger, I've had him on the show many times. He said in that book that the favorite quote of Karl Marx, his favorite quote, came from Goethe's Faust, and it came specifically from the devil figure, Mephistopheles. And the quote is something like this: everything that exists deserves to perish. Everything that exists deserves to perish. So in other words, if something exists, you need to tear it down. Now, I'm personally a conservative, because that's why I believe we have something to conserve, the Judeo-Christian tradition and so forth. There are good things to be conserved, but everything that exists deserves to be perished. Isn't that amazing? I can't believe that Karl Marx's destruction continues from the grave even, at this late date.
But see how it is hidden behind the Black Lives Matter movement, into which millions of dollars have been thrown by our major corporations. And so you have apparently a movement to help blacks, but the real goal is the destruction of the culture.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And in fact, that you mentioned that one lady, Patricia, the one of the three co-founders of Black Lives Matter.
Kulos.
Yeah, and she has now resigned, apparently, but she was caught with her hands in the cookie jar in the sense of, purchasing a whole bunch of property. Wow, what a Marxist. Okay, we have about half a minute left. Why should the church care about all this?
The church would care about it because it's the ideology of Marxism that is subtly made available to young people, especially in the desire to want to do good and to help suffering people. It's easy for them to say, well, here's a system that worked in the past, Marxism, and we can use that system now in order to help in the anti-racist attempts in our culture. But of course, they fail to understand that the ideology behind Marxism destroys the notion of God, and actually destroys the notion of the human being who is made in God's image. If there's no God, then there's no image of God, and then we have a basic view of human beings that anybody can imagine, and that's what Marx imagined. He thought of human beings made in his image, and he managed to kill millions of them. So we have to be very careful as we want to do good that we do not buy the ideology behind it.
Excellent. TruthExchange.com for more information. Thank you, Dr. Jones. All the best.
You're very welcome. God bless you.